It's 11:17 on the West Coast. That's 10 minutes past 11:10. Thought I'd give you something real profound to start with tonight.
Still can't believe that God would make me say so many necessary things as I said on Sunday. You know, I'm starting to feel that maybe the Lord's preparing me to be like Ezekiel and Isaiah. People have said, when are you ever going to teach on sex? Well, I did. Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile. Now, you know what a tile is. It's a little square piece of something. You still up? Or you just look like it. You realize that in 12 minutes we're going to join Washington, D.C. That'll make a lot of people happy. Tonight, sing Amazing Grace the way you're acting. What have you been serving in here while they waited? We won't see, won't we? Somebody's already seen. Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile. You realize that this is his first opportunity to preach after he ate the whole book of God. I mean, he must be just about ready to explode with a great message. Up at this hour? Maybe before I start, I should check and see if I got a class that waited for me. I'd like to hear from the folks on Channel 30 that heard the Father's Day message for the first time. I'd like to hear from good friends down in Texas and over in New York City that heard my speech about injustice. But we're going to prevail. You can be sure of that. I'm told that the prosecutor complained about me talking with my people on Sunday about this goings-on in Glendale and asked the judge if he said he had an audio tape and asked the judge if she would like to hear it. And our attorney said, we'll provide you a videotape. And she said, yes. So they went into the chambers and watched it. They saw it. The judge saw the same thing you saw. We're not afraid of truth. I'll give a copy of that speech to about anybody. No reason to put a bout on it. I suppose economically I'd run out after a while. I think there are folks down in the Lone Star State that believe in truth and justice, and people in New York City that believe in truth and justice. I'd like to hear some of their responses. I got a big stack of messages I haven't been able to look at. Before I start this marvelous intro to Ezekiel's ministry, why don't I have you check in as a class. I don't hear much from Green Bay, Wisconsin. We've been up there long enough to be part of the family. Escanaba, what is it? Yeah, Escanaba. Bay City and Flint finally told us where we can have a banquet big enough. Glad to know that. Friends down in Nashville are looking forward. What's the date for Nashville? 27th of July. Lord, we got a lot of time to get that ready. Where? Opryland Hotel. 27th of July in Nashville. You folks down in Nashville better start making your reservations. And you folks in Memphis and in Dallas-Fort Worth, Richmond, Virginia, and around the South that can't make it to Tulsa, put Nashville on your calendar. 27th of July will be in Nashville. Saturday. Is that correct? Huh? Memphis is the 20th of July. Well, then we got three banquets to pin down now. Where are we going in Memphis? Peabody Hotel. That's a famous old hotel. So Saturday the 20th of July we'll be in Memphis at the Peabody Hotel. Just kill those that were going to drive to Nashville. 27th of July we'll be in Nashville at the Opryland Hotel. And this Saturday we're in Tulsa. You ain't got much time, Tulsa. I have news media trying to set up appointments with me when I come to town. I don't want to be unkind because they are friendly and fair people. But I hope they'll understand that this is for my king's houses. This is a very private affair. And I don't want any of them to waste $100 thinking they can get a news story, because everyone who comes to these banquets must sign a statement they don't work for any newspaper or media organization and will not reveal anything learned in this banquet. Now, that's being fair. Some news media have indicated they'd pay $100 and come. No deal. This is a family affair. For those that are king's houses and that I have taught, who want to share in my ministry, it's a fundraising banquet. Now, the 20th is this Saturday, 22nd of June. That's this Saturday. Tulsa at 12 noon, Weston Hotel on Williams, or in, at, what do you say there? On or in, at Williams Center. 20th of July, Memphis, Tennessee, Peabody Hotel. And since we have to fly back, we're starting at noon. You're just going to have to upgrade it till noon. And all of these places will start at noon and end at 4:30. Because we have to fly back to the West Coast for Sunday service.
Well, now, with all the stress and strain, and I will quickly say there's good reason for it, particularly with a crisis like is facing the nation now with the hostages, but that's been covered by everybody. And with all the stress and strain, Washington, D.C. needs me to go to bed with. Yeah. Welcome. Welcome to Channel 20. Welcome to Channel 20 and Washington, D.C. Wait a minute. Stop that. Welcome to Washington, D.C. and... yeah, if you just shut up, I can talk. Welcome to Channel 20. I started to say Washington, D.C. in Channel 20. Welcome to Channel 20 in Washington, D.C. Now, every time we join a new station, we have several hurdles to cross. One, they can't believe anybody would be live this late at night. Well, I am. I don't know about you. Now, we'll be with you every night. You join a family of stations, a host of them really, from Los Angeles to Richmond, Virginia, from San Diego to Hartford, Connecticut. We have Washington surrounded. So we decided to move on in. I used to be in Washington, D.C. on a station. And I think it was over in Manassas, Virginia. It's been at least 4 or 5 years. Nice to be back. We're based in Los Angeles, so I can let me anticipate all the questions. First, I'm a teacher. I happen to believe that TV audiences have more brains than television normal programming suggests. I'm up there 24 hours a day off Westar 5, transponder 1X, just me, teaching most of the time. There will be people, because they'll see, I'm holding a Bible tonight. I'm going to teach from the Bible. Something rarely done by anyone, including the Sunday preachers. I will be asked quickly, is he a preacher? Well, I'm ordained. You'll decide whether I'm a preacher or not. I pastor a church, a 39-year-old congregational polity church in Glendale, California. Well, you don't dress like a preacher. Good. I mean, don't you really get tired of those penguin suits every Sunday? Thundering, condemnatory voices. Oh, another one of those. A preacher. No, not another one of those. I mean, let's set that record straight right off the bat. I don't want anybody confusing me with them television evangelists. I pastor a church. Now, there's a difference between a pastor and an evangelist. Most people don't know that difference. But there's a difference between a pastor and an evangelist. By the way, just when we went on in Washington, D.C., I saw cameras change all over the place. What happened? We lose one? Camera one broke. You've done it to us already, Washington. Pretty good one, do it to punch. Now, I hate cigars. I just hate cigars. If I'm on the other end of it. Now, if you're on the right end, that's true of most things. If you're on the right end, if you're on the right end, it's okay. In fact, I try. That's one of my ambitions in life, to always be on the right end of things, not the wrong end. And my circumciser is getting clogged up here. I don't want anybody to think I'm a television evangelist. I pastor a church, a very large church. It's to the credit of the people, it's a good church. But I'm not a television evangelist. I don't want to save anybody. I did a PhD at Stanford University and fell in love with freedom. Not something casual to me. If I didn't believe in God, there have been times I didn't. If I didn't believe in God, I would worship the opportunity to be free. I don't have any trouble with God on that because he put a high priority on freedom. He turned it loose. And it is freedom, as the New Orthodox theologians say so eloquently, that is the necessary prerequisite to sin. When you stop all that dribbling and drivel that is done on Sunday, where what I call flyspeck religion, looking for all these little things that they can condemn you for, like this, you know. That's a pretty good sized cigar, but God's bigger than that. When you launder God through pea brains, assuming that all receptacles are pea brains, you have a very small God. But the neo-orthodox people said sin, in essence, a misuse of freedom. That's true. God prized what freedom can give, love and faith, trust and worship, that he turned it loose. He turned freedom loose with the risk of sin because of what free men can do. That tells me he prized it a lot. So I crusade on freedom. I lost my faith in university, got it back from a hard-headed study of the resurrection. I'm in love with Jesus Christ, but I don't cram him down anybody's throat. I hate these evangelists that say God doesn't hear the prayers of Jews or Catholics. That makes me different than that one, at least. I hate these evangelists that are always dumping on you for your sins as though they don't have any. I don't think they know how to sin very well, but from God's view, they sin. Television evangelists have rubber women that bounce up and down next to them and discover profound things in Scripture, like, did you read this today, honey? Jesus wept. That have 1940s hairdos and all go to the same hairdresser. That's circumcised. That makes it spiritual. I'm not sure I ever smoked a cigar in Washington, D.C. before. Now, television evangelists never enjoy things of life. That's why they're mad at everybody who does. Television evangelists, I want to save you. I don't want to save you. I believe in freedom, I said. If you want to go to hell, go. Why should I make you miserable on the trip? I teach. Now, we teach on everything. We teach on everything from the pyramid to sex. Whatever I'm interested in at this hour of the night, that's what I teach. And considering the opportunities that precede this hour of the night, it'll not be anything. I've even taught on cigars. Rather smoke them, though. That's a punch. That's a pretty good one. That's pretty high cotton. Or tobacco. You see, I can't believe anybody would use television time to smoke a cigar. That's why television is so miserable. They're scared of the clock. Television hates silence. I'm going to tell you how to watch television, evangelist. You really enjoy it if you'll do it. Turn the sound off. Turn the sound off and just watch them. Now, I teach on whatever I'm interested in. We may teach on Atlantis one night. I believe in Atlantis. I believe Atlantis existed. But we don't need to fight about it. I just offer the evidence. I teach on the pyramid. That's a fascinating subject. You know, evolutionists say we started out dumb, got smart. There ain't anybody in the world could build that pyramid today. Bechtel Corporation couldn't build it. Teach on ghosts. As I said, teach on sex. Maybe the only preacher in the world with some experience on that subject. You notice, you notice I said, maybe. Now, I grew up in a pastor's home. My dad pastored 30 years in the same town. I'm sad that television has created an imagery of Christianity and even religion in general, that you got to be like those penguins and only like them that parade every Sunday. You got to work a miracle every 5 minutes, and you got to be perfect. The real substance of religion in America are those faithful pastors that stay in a city, faithful rabbis, faithful priests that stay in a city and do a job. That's why I want you to know I'm a pastor. I got a congregation I stand in front of every Sunday and account to. And I just believe that for too long there's been one kind of voice peddled on television until people think that's the norm for religion. Well, when you have a kind of tunnel vision like TV and you see only the freaks, the normal ones start feeling out of step. So I've got my private crusade to let people know on television there's an alternative to that judgmental preaching, that condemnatory stuff, that sell your tobacco farm and go on welfare. I'm on no crusade for tobacco. I believe the health reports. I believe that you ought to be free to make your own choice. I never inhale these things. I got that much sense. I'm tired of people jogging by me in a park and blowing their bad breath in my face and saying, "Are you born again?" I'm old-fashioned. I'm pastoring a church, maybe one of the few that believe God can save people without me getting in his way. I just teach. I don't have any little wooden crosses to give away. Only got 5,000 left, made by the Japanese, sold by the Arabs, and peddled by the TV evangelists. I don't have Jerusalem rocks. I have a man in my church that's to blame for that one. He'd been doing penance for years. He stood, I don't put the picture on him. He stood outside of Jerusalem when they were building a road one day. And he looked at the rocks they were throwing aside, and he said to one of the Arabs that peddles these trinkets to the TV evangelists, he said, "I could sell those." And the Arab didn't believe that. And Craig says, "Yes, I can." And he packaged them in an even dozen. You know, that's the apostolic number. The problem was to find which rock was the traitor. And they washed up those rocks and they peddled them and they took a verse out of context, which was uttered by one of the prophets that motivated the people to rebuild the wall and the second temple of Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. Not all the Psalms were written by David. And one of these prophets wrote the psalm as a message from God that when they quit looking at the blisters on their hands and the tediousness of their task and could realize that Messiah would one day stand in that temple and could fall in love with the rocks and with the dirt because of their understanding of the privilege they had to participate in God's plan and God's program. When that attitude came, it was the catalyst that would cause God to rise with healing in his wings. But you know, when you're raising money for TV evangelists, you don't have to worry about context or what the word. You just find the verse that serves the purpose, bringing in the loot. Now, don't get too mad at Craig. He's been repenting of this for years. But he put the verse on the box. When you love the stones of Jerusalem, God will rise with healing in his wings. And that's the pitch. And for $100, you could get these 12 rocks from Jerusalem. Might get you healed. As I think about it, Craig, I think you ought to do another 5 years of repentance.
No cigars for Craig. Anyway, he told the Arab he could sell them. He knew who was coming to town. Sure enough, one of the television evangelists and their wife showed up at that little store area over there near Bethlehem where they buy all these trinkets. And when they saw this package of Jerusalem rocks, she started jumping up and down. Oh, this is just the Lord. You got to be something. You got to be married to something awful and impoverished greatly to have 12 rocks like that turn you on. So, you know, we ought to fit. Craig knew he had a fit subject. I don't lay my hand on papers and draw lines around it and send it to you and say, now, you know, pin money to it and lay your hand on it and send it back and put this hand on where you hurt. Which reminds me, neither, I don't do that other thing either. I don't pray much on TV. Jesus said, go in the closet when you pray. Don't be like the Pharisee that stands on the corner and prays to be seen. Go in the closet. There are Pharisees turned over in their grave because TV wasn't around. Lots of people call and say, why don't you pray more? Because Jesus said, go in your closet and pray. Don't, you know, parade it in front of the nation. I don't pray that much on TV. I don't get these feelings. Somebody just got healed in their left shoulder. Somebody's getting healed right here in their stomach. That's about as low as they go. Then they skip. You know, it's like God doesn't care about the center area. They never get healed in any of those delicate parts. It's always knee, shin. And God never heals anybody of AIDS or herpes. You notice that? I only want to make one point. You know, it's the first night. I don't want us to get off on the wrong foot. I did a PhD at Stanford University in philosophies of education. Lost my faith, came back to a faith from a hard study, as I said, of the resurrection. I do have a serious crusade. I'm tired of people thinking you got to cut the top of your head off and suck your brains out and leave them at the door of a church. I'm tired of people thinking you got to be weird and funny and float 40 feet off the ground and have itchy feelings in your spine to be spiritual. I'm tired of people that face the reality of life and walk the streets where the stress and strain is, being made to think that unless you're perfect, God won't have you. I'm tired of ordinary people feeling that the price of eternity is to become stupid or weird. My Bible tells me, and I have a church full of people of every faith. I have people on my staff that are Jewish. I say to them what my professor said to me at Stanford University. He said to me, Gene, I don't care what your faith is. I think he did, but he was stating logically, and that's the way I state it. It isn't going to affect our relationship. He was probably the leading exponent of experimentalism and progressive education on the West Coast. John Dewey. Thoroughly agnostic. He said, Gene, I'm taking you on as a doctoral candidate. I don't care what your faith is. But before you get out of here, you are going to understand your faith and be able to express it. I say that to my Jewish associate that works with me and is in church about every Sunday. He says he learns the Old Testament better here than he did in his synagogue. And I say to him, Mark, you know, I don't want to convert you. I want you to work out your own faith, appreciate it, understand it better. No one who comes to my church feels I'm trying to save them or change them. I think it's time we understand that every person has the right to work his own faith out with him and God. My job is to provide some raw material to help the thought process with respect for their right to work it out. Even the Christians ought to remember that Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The Greek words are the cognates of our words for phobia and trauma. Work out your own salvation with phobia and traumas. It seems like the Christianities, at least the television spokesmen, are busy becoming the source of phobia and trauma. And you can't work it out on your own because of these phobia maniacs around you. My Bible tells me, and this is the Christian faith, and this will be about the only preaching I'll do tonight, and we're going to just have a good time. I mean, it's late enough. Washington, D.C. needs a little relaxation tonight. And I decided I don't want to work. I want to just play. But I'm going to say this, first night in Washington, D.C. The fundamental creed of the Christian church is that God was in Christ. That whatever God is, enough for us to know about him, moved into a tent of human flesh called Jesus of Nazareth. The Greek word is hypostasis. God had cast shadows and left trackings of his presence. And you can learn about God and the stars, and we may teach on that subject some night. You can learn about God and his creation. You can learn about him through an oracle people that were chosen by their, or because of their faith. But these are shadows cast by a substance. When you see a shadow, you follow it to the substance. The claim of the Christian church is that the hypostases are the substance of God. Literally, it's a military word, struck a tent in human flesh and moved into it and brought God from behind a curtain. John says, no man has seen God, but Christ has declared him. We have our word exegesis from the Greek word, which means to lead from behind a curtain where it was hidden and put it on display. The claim of the Christian church is that God in Christ was the substance of God moving out of eternity from behind the curtain, striking a tent in human flesh, and bringing what was not seen into the seen world, and he brought it right into the streets where ordinary people live. It was the religious people of his day, because he didn't fit their mold, that rejected him. It was the common people and the ordinary people and the men and women who had to face life on the street that heard him gladly and responded to him. He didn't run around acting weird. He passed by a man at a tax table and said, follow me, and there was something about this person that attracted that man, and he left that tax table or Peter fishing or John mending his nets. And he took them as they were, and he didn't ask them to change as the price of meeting him. They were changed in the process, but he took them as they were. And he brought God into the streets of life. And the church has been trying to project God back into mystery land ever since. That's, if there is a simple crusade that's religious that I'm in, is to demystify spiritual things and bring them down where people live. And I'm teaching right now on one of the Old Testament preachers who proves that point better than probably any of them, Ezekiel. But I don't want to teach tonight. I want that introduction. Don't put me in a pot with the rest of them. Like me or dislike me for what I am, but don't anybody say just another television preacher. I'll grab your cigar and light up with me. And to show you we're not, I decided preachers take themselves too seriously. So I'm going to introduce Washington, D.C. with my version of Amazing Grace. We call it
We call it the Docky Horror Show. My people mock me. I'm their pastor. And they mock me. Isn't it awful? I don't revolve my face at 12. Just bring whoever joins us. I think it's Reno or somebody. Just bring whoever joins us in to Amazing Grace. I was flying on my jet one night. We had flown in and out of Dallas. Somebody told me about a little church that he had gone to, a friend that was flying with us, and he said they told him that their pastor had written a special version of Amazing Grace. We subsequently found he had put it to the tune of an old Scottish ditty. I came home to tell my people about it, and I want you to notice how serious I am when I start out. And they started mocking me. Here it is. Play it while I smoke. We're going to stay. We're going to be on every night in Washington, D.C. Just might as well get used to it. Look how serious I am.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I can see. Was,
shout out.
Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears a relief. How precious did that grace appear. I first believed. Through men. Then he started doing the wind-up. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have, you've seen the song service like that guy, I have already come. His grace hath brought my me safe thus far.
What are you giving me time for? I'm just getting started.
And grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less day to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
You think you got it?
No. He had the whole congregation help. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I can see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe and far. As grace will lead.
Oh, give me a little harmony now.
When we've been there 10,000 years, from time to
time, that's it, you got it. We know less days to see God's grace.
Than when we were seeing God.
You got it. More. Through many dangers, toils, and snares. Hey, wait a minute. You haven't got the tears in it.
Through men. Wait a minute. No. Through men.
Where'd you go?
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
Why isn't the congregation singing?
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we know that they do think God's praise, that when we
God. When we've been there 10,000 years, like shining at the sun, we know less dangers to God's grace than when we were
being.
Get a quiver in your voice. Quiver it.
I want
yeah.
I see.
That's right. Through many dangers, toils, and snares.
You got it. You got it.
I have already
come.
His grace
has brought me to
faith thus far.
And grace
will lead. Come on, Sammy.
Show, you're not running this show. Shut up. You mock me. Now, I know doing anything to Amazing Grace is like spitting on a flag. But I didn't do it. They did it.
Brothers over there. They're going at it again. Ron, you and Mike change places. Not you and Mike Fleck change places. I have a reason for that.